afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
.985 The Sports Hub. Good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Hardy is in for Rich, who apparently was tweeting last night, but...
Yes, he was.
How sick are you if you're tweeting? I guess that he has... this is his second day on antibiotics, and if you come in after or before the first 2 days, you're a ticking time bomb, and everyone around you is going to get very ill. So, well, he got to stay up, apparently. I'm under the impression he watched the entire game last night.
Look, if you're up tweeting, then to me, that tells me that you're good to do just about anything, including stand up and watching basketball. So if he was tweeting, then he probably stayed up and watched the game.
Is that true, Wallach? Did you stay up and watch the entire game?
Yeah, I was at Fenway with the kids last night, got home in time for early stages of the third quarter, watched the rest of the NBA game, yes.
I watched the entire game last night.
Yeah?
And Fred?
I watched half a quarter.
Wait a second. Here's the important part. Which quarter? Did you watch the second half of the fourth quarter? Because if that's the case, we're good. We can do a show.
I watched the first half of the first quarter.
Not a lot of help.
And then made my way to the boudoir.
Mm. Huh.
And
it was sexy time.
The stabbing cabin, huh?
Good for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll bang my wife till kingdom come. We were all over each other. We couldn't keep our hands off each other. I went, oh, yeah, give me this girl that I've been with for 15 years. Mm-hmm.
All night, huh? Did you get any sleep?
Let's just say the sexual gods said... You'll be plenty rested.
Oh, okay. I got gotcha.
Hey.
Right. Endorphin release.
I hate that on TV shows. And it's like every TV show where the guy's super horny and he's walking around like, I've been with you for 25 years. Come on, give me a little sex. Like, you can't control yourself.
It's a basic human need. And day after day, year after year, on this program and in other walks of life, you prove yourself to be something different than a basic human.
No, I... Do you constantly want to have sex with your wife?
Pretty much. That is mantra. I'm like, and this was not my line originally, although I thought of this before I think Seinfeld ever said it. Pretty much whenever you want to have it, we can have it. I'm always ready. But always into the idea.
See, my thing would be that's not the way we've evolved. It's not our instinct as humans. Our instinct as humans, and I'm being very serious, is to procreate with as many women as we can. So some people, some scientists, some sociologists would tell you that the concept of marriage is not in human nature.
Okay, but once you make the
plunge,
take the vows, walk the plank, so to speak, and you give up the notion of ever having sex with anyone else, your evolutionary pea-sized dinosaur brain once again kicks in and says, well, you better have sex with this person as much as you can if you're not able to spread your seed elsewhere.
No. You know, no. John, do you run around when you have sex all the time?
With my wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lean more in Hardy's direction. Yes.
And are your wives, they're like, yeah.
No.
So you're going to
say that.
I mean, she's not repulsed by the idea, but I'm certainly, you know, more up for it on a consistent basis than I think she is. Sure.
All right. So you will go like in bed, you'll be like, hey, let's do it.
No, we've fallen into a very, I think a very, for me, acceptable, and routine is a bad word. But I think it's more along the lines of, you know, she will either look at me or say to me, it's like, okay, now. It's like, you know, the mood strikes her. I'm like, okay. And you just got to be ready. I'm always ready.
You know, you have some time on your hands. You could knock that thing out by yourself.
But you're still but you're still attracted to your wife.
Sure. But I mean, I don't have this. I realize my wife's a very attractive person,
yes.
But I don't have this, you know, this want to have sex all the time. See, that's why I liked Married with Children. I think it was the first show to really tackle the issue.
But he never wanted to have sex.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's on a rare occasion that I, like, really want to have sex.
Really?
Yeah.
The desire has just left you?
No. I would love to have sex with other women.
Oh. Okay. All right. Okay.
Because that would be actually something that didn't take an hour. And then left me sitting there going, all right, next time.
Again, not a problem for me. And that's I don't say it's good, bad, or otherwise.
No, it's good that it's not a problem for you. Because it's always been a problem for me. I've often...
You have a problem achieving sexual satisfaction?
We've had Stephanie on. No, we've had Stephanie on, and she's confirmed this.
She's actually
in awe in a lot of ways. I thought he was kidding when he said it. He actually called Stephanie on the air, had her on, and Stephanie confirmed all of this, and she was completely in awe of Fred's ability to withhold.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not withholding as a means to let's keep this going like in a sting tantric yoga type.
No.
I train my, because I hated rubbers. I have always hated rubbers.
Such a foul sounding word, isn't it?
And I always hated condoroonies.
Prophylactics.
And so,
condoroonies
foul
are good.
Word. And so I trained myself growing up to not release, and that has stuck with me.
Yeah,
because I figured everyone had herpes, and so I wasn't afraid of getting herpes, and like no one has genital warts.
See, that goes against instinct. When you're a young man, I think very few train themselves to withhold release, and it's more about let's see what happens here. Let's try and make it happen again.
Yeah,
let's try and make it happen as many times as possible.
No, that when I was in college, I did that with my girlfriend, but. When I got older and was having sex with like a woman that I didn't really know, I didn't want to wear a rubber, and I didn't want to get them pregnant, and I never trusted that they were really on the pill, so I figured worst case scenario I get the herp, and then I contend that one out of like every three people has herpes. You know, I did a bit on the air where the whole show had to take herpes tests.
How'd that go?
Everyone was negative except the person who lost the test. They've lost the person's test.
Oh, just go figure.
Yeah. It was really something else. Dan, go ahead.
Freddie.
What up?
I got a question. I'm calling you from my personal pornography device. It makes phone calls, too.
Okay.
And the trend in porn, I'll pull up the old Pornhub. And look up the old most watched videos. What is this bratty sister, stepsister obsession?
It's gross. Like, it's super gross.
Hell? And I only have brothers. I don't have any sisters.
No, but if you did have sisters, it's even more gross. It's true. It's this big movement in pornography on these websites that is like, oh, that's an attractive woman, and then all of a sudden you're like, this is gross. Like this whole scenario is gross, and it's good. 70% of the stuff that's out there.
Step-siblings, stepmothers, stuff like that?
Yeah, and it's always like quote-unquote step-mother.
Yeah.
It's all not good.
It does nothing for me.
Well, I'm glad.
But it does something for a lot of people otherwise, or it's some conspiracy that Pornhub and everyone else is trying to push on the people.
I mean, well, I think it was the next evolution of the MILF is what I think. But that he's right. It can be very confusing and very, and then you're like, oh. And now it takes, by the way, my activity on that has gone way down too.
Yeah, I'm not as I don't frequent it myself, but
there used to be five times a day, and then it became when I was a kid.
Well, how much access to pornography did you have as a kid?
Well, we've been over this before. It could be the Weather Channel,
okay.
Golden Girls.
Okay. Oh, you're just talking about the self-gratification.
Yeah, no, you have to go online. Sure. That's readily available all over the place.
I mean, Corey Everson, the other woman that did the workout show.
Keanu Tom.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Ginger and Marianne got in the mud pit on Gilligan's Island and they were like taking... Yeah.
I do remember that episode.
I think that was my first experience of watching something on TV that I truly found titillating.
Interesting.
Mine was Samantha Fox's Touch Me.
Oh, that's... When was that? Like, late 80s?
Yeah, 87? Is about a sweet spot for that.
Oh, but were you talking when it actually caused you to
I didn't know you could.
Okay.
I didn't know you could.
Didn't know that was a possibility in terms of physiology or...
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. I didn't do it correctly. But I didn't do it correctly, but I was, and then if I could bottle that feeling, oh.
What do you mean you didn't do it correctly? I thought you had to use your feet. I thought your own feet were involved in a brick.
I'll tell you this, I was on my stomach.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
I don't want to get into detail. Gotcha.
If something overtook me, and I was like, Samantha Fox. And then the next thing you know, I had a Samantha Fox picture on my wall.
Hmm.
And the rest is history. Then I got the locker room photos. I had a real ladies' lair right there when I was 13 years old.
Did your friends ever come over and say, what's going on with this? Like, did you develop faster than your friends or find yourself attracted quicker than the other ones?
No, because everybody denied it until a kid came into our high school from another school and was like, very open about it, and it was kind of like everyone...
Guys, we should all be talking about this.
They started testing the waters about telling it to themselves.
Right, okay.
You know, we'd ask everyone if they did, and if they said yes, we'd, rag on them, but it was just because we were very insecure about it meeting that.
And looking for ideas. Oh, you do that? How?
Not really.
Dig it on your stomach? Just gyrate?
All right.
I heard about a guy who did that.
He was pretty cool. He was the Fonzie of self-pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich. What happened last night?
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It must have been a better night at Fenway last night, as John was there with a Double-A baseball team, and I didn't see any horrible calls that plagued the first game of this series.
No, Detroit was just pretty much lousy.
Yeah, and Benintendi says to the people, "Yard."
Oh, is that what you're waiting for? All right, let's listen to it.
Yard.
Mentioned he's on a pace to drive in over 100 runs. That one smoked.
Woo! Put a stogie in your mouth and smoke. Yikes.
Thank you to Nesson for that
audio. It's like a building a fire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Smoke that bad boy. Skidoo! Right there. Right there in the old pile of people. Gave it the old smoky smoke, and then chased it with a nice salami.
That's right. Benintendi doubled to left in the third. That was the home run in the fifth there, and Red Sox beat the Tigers. Here come the Tigers in the third game of the set tonight after they lost the first two by a combined total of 13-1. Mm-hmm. 13-1 in the first two games, Red Sox on top of Detroit.
Well, Detroit got screwed in game one. Now, what was the deal with the lights?
See, I didn't even know that was going on. Well, I'm in the 25th row of the center field bleachers, so I have no idea. Not center field, behind the bullpen. I had no idea any of this was going on because I was surrounded by about 28-year-olds. So I had no idea about any of this.
Were you still there? Were you still at the game? What time did you leave the game?
Left the game sixth inning. Middle of sixth inning.
Yeah, this happened in the seventh.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
so
you're gone.
There you go.
Here's how it sounded on Nessun.
You see this at concerts all the time.
Yeah.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
It's kind of cool.
Came out of nowhere.
It's like the wave. What's happening here?
Now Cabrera has come to the umpire behind home plate. He wants to chat with Mike DeMuro. He's concerned about this.
Yeah, bothers him.
The distraction. Yep. Yeah. I guess enough of a distraction, they want it stopped.
These hitters nowadays have to have everything perfect. I guess that obviously is distracting in center field. That's the batting eye. You see these little white dots running around. That's not cool.
We'll see if this leads to any kind of an announcement here at Fenway.
Yeah. It's almost like they turned their lights off in center field. I guess they figured it out.
Look, yeah, I mean, they are counseling them to stop it. The ushers are.
Yeah, and, you know, when Dave O'Brien says, I've seen this at a lot of concerts, and Eccleston is like, dude, Night Ranger invented this. Every time in Sister Christian, when he goes, it's true! The lights would go billy, 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 billy.
Now,
it's cool.
Is Bird an usher at Fenway? Is that his official title?
He is security at
security
Fenway.
At Fenway Park.
All right. Should we ask him if he had to counsel anyone?
Okay, so what are the lights doing at this point?
Well, people just have their phone screens turned toward the batter, or they turn on the flashlight on their phone, which we've all done. You know, swipe up from the bottom, hit the little flashlight icon.
Especially when I'm at the old ball game.
Right.
All right.
So they're just shining the lights in the direction of, was it Castellanos?
Cabrera, I believe.
Okay.
Right?
It was everywhere.
Okay.
Well,
so
whoever was at the plate when it first started happening, it became an issue.
So what's happening
about it?
So what's happening, Bird?
Yeah.
Randomly, the lights started going. And we're getting calls. Where are these lights from? I'm like, I don't know. Like, no one knew what was going on. Everyone's completely clueless.
You're on an earpiece? You're like, in constant communication?
Yes.
With the, okay.
No one knew why it started,
okay,
how it started.
What was going on with the lights, though?
No one knows. Until now, no one knows. Someone said it started, I guess.
No, but visually, like, when you're looking at the lights, what was going on?
Nothing. People just swam back and forth, and everyone just
with the
happy.
Phone.
That's nothing with the ballpark lights.
Okay.
Just
cell phone lights.
Cell phone lights.
All right.
So did you talk to anybody?
No. No.
Were you supposed to?
No.
Not so what were they?
I just took care of that.
The communication devices among you and other security personnel were used pretty much for the sole purpose of, what's going on? I don't know. Cell phone.
Yeah, everyone was clueless at the time.
Okay.
I find that hard to believe.
His job is to tackle people who run onto the field, which, by the way, happened last night.
Well, he didn't tackle
anybody. No, he didn't, but a great hit by one of the security guards last night out in right center field. That I was there for. Guy popped out of the left field grandstand, sprinted right towards the bullpen, and he did not see the blindside security guard before it was too late.
And at that moment, every sports writer and Twitter user in New England had the same joke.
Hey, send that guy to minicamp tomorrow.
Right.
Patriots could use him.
Right.
Yeah. Fred, because he tackled the guy. He wrapped him up.
I'm just remembering.
Lowered it. Oh.
Triumph Cow Palace, 1979. But back then we used lighters.
Cow Palace.
Yeah, sometimes burned your thumb. Burned your thumb, but baby, rock and roll was burning my soul.
You want to hear what Alex Cora had to say about the lights?
What did the umpires say to you, Alex, about that? I mean, was there? Did they want?
There's any way
to make an announcement?
We can make a stop. And I think the security guards they saw it right away, and they asked them to stop, and they did. Yeah. All of a sudden, we have bases loaded.
Yeah. That's nice. Anyway, they won that game. And then last night, what do you know? The Golden State Warriors are up 3-1 or 3-0?
Yes.
On 3-0. On them Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll get into the possibility of LeBron James's future. But last night, my friend, KD going off.
Oh, wait, is it, you want KD? But KD, Durant, fine. I got KD.
Standing on the logo. Waves Curry away. He's got Rodney Hood guarding
He's
him.
He's got Rodney Hood guarding him.
To the right side. Pulls up. Downtown. Durant for three. Way downtown. He doubles the Warriors' advantage to 106-100. It's a playoff career high. 43 points for Kevin Durant. 106-100 Warriors and a timeout for Cleveland.
Matt Kaufman making his debut. Golden State. Kevin Durant with some controversial...
Adam Kaufman.
Yeah, Matt Kaufman.
Okay, I was with you.
I was a little confused.
Adam Kaufman, I apologize. Kevin Durant with some controversial comments after the game.
I'm not done playing basketball yet, so I don't really look at these as defining moments. I don't want to downplay anything, but I don't want to act like this is the end of the road, you know, so just get back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, well, all right, Kevin. I mean, now you're going to put your whole team into getting back to work? Well, Steve Kerr has always been politically outspoken. Little like a little socialist over there. Want to keep everyone in line. But Steve Kerr had this to say about Trump and the situation with the Eagles and his team and everything else.
I think what you're seeing is I think the athletes are showing patriotism through their community service. You know, the president is turning all this stuff into a political game and a ratings game, and it's a blatant display of nationalism. What patriotism is helping your fellow citizen, and whether it's what KD's doing or, you know, what we did when we visited Washington.
All right, there, wavy gravy. And LeBron James finally got up onto the microphone and we'll make some people proud.
The margin of error is very low. I mean, you can't, you know, it's almost like, you know, playing the Patriots. You just can't have mistakes. They're not going to beat themselves.
Oh.
You know, so, you know, when you're able to either force a miscue on them, you have to be able to capitalize. And then you have to be so in tune and razor sharp and focused every single possession. You can't have miscommunication. You can't have loss. You can't have my faults.
Yeah. So there you go. He's talking about the Patriots. When we come back, we'll talk about a esteemed sports writer and a man who talks on TV and radio believes he has a list of the teams that LeBron James will go to. And you might be a little surprised about one of them. Here are the headlines.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Stephen A. Smith was on his show. Hey, look, we're on captioning at the airport bar.
is that what they've officially changed the name of that show to?
Might as well.
I contend that no one has ever watched that show with sound. It's on where there's just a place where it has ESPN on. I'm obviously not at a gym often anyway, but I haven't been to a gym at this time in years. But I would contend that 99 of the places that have it on are not playing the sound of it. It's like the Golf Channel. The Golf Channel exists to be on at barbershops with the closed captioning.
Right. You just see people up there talking about the swing. Hitting into the big screen.
Yep. They brought out all the stops. Well, they said that he's going to have conversations, LeBron James is, with 17 teams. Now the Cavaliers can give him more money than anyone else. Now there's the Golden State Warriors, who they're saying Warriors would have to send Klay Thompson and Andrew Iguodala to Cleveland in a sign and trade for James, in addition to convincing Durant to take an even bigger pay cut. And shipping Sean Livingston to a team with cap space. So that is not going to happen. Why? I mean, the sign and trade for Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala.
So you saw Stephen A. talking. Would you like to hear the words that were that accompanied that?
I would. Thank you.
Let me just give you the list to get this out the way. LeBron James is going to have a conversation with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, they go offer him the most. They're willing to do anything they can to keep him here, et cetera, et cetera. And he's going to have a conversation with Boston. He's going to have a conversation with Philly. Obviously, the Lakers. Houston is in the mix as well. They're going to go after him. Make no mistake about it. Golden State. I don't think there's anything that Miami can do, but obviously because he's there and brought him two championships, that's a conversation that Pat Riley, you know, you got to remember, Pat Riley made amends with Dwayne Wade. Y'all know how LeBron feels about D-Wade. These are all conversations that they're going to have. Those are the seven teams.
Okay, so yesterday I heard Boston Celtics fans either very excited or very upset at the notion of getting LeBron James, and this guy from Yahoo says, and they have a city full of fans who have rooted against James for a decade now. Well, you know, that tends to stop when they come to your team and have success.
Yeah, of all the priorities, I think that's very low.
Right. And if he comes here, you win a championship.
But do you like your team as much?
Yes. And in any scenario, I like the team as much.
Okay. So, really, the first major obstacle is the fact that Kyrie Irving is already here.
Right.
And Kyrie Irving left Cleveland. He did not want to play with LeBron anymore.
That would be the cruelest blow of all. Kyrie shot his way out of town successfully, got the hell away from the guy he couldn't stand, and there he is back in his locker room a year later.
And yeah, there are a number of reasons why I don't want this to happen. And I preface all of it by saying LeBron James, best basketball player in the world. And I agree with you, Fred. If he joins the Celtics next year, the Celtics win the NBA championship. As much as I think Golden State will, you put him right there into the conversation. But the first thing that happens is, how do you put LeBron James and Kyrie Irving on the same team? Or do you just automatically rid yourself of Kyrie Irving?
Do you ship him off? You'd have to.
Okay, so Jimmy Stewart was saying that you could do a trade with San Antonio to get Kawhi Leonard and then use Kawhi Leonard as a piece to go get LeBron James.
Does Kawhi Leonard want to play basketball?
I don't know, but
the question is, can he? Can he play basketball at the level we're all used to?
Well, you would have to move a guy with a max deal, and Kyrie Irving has 1 year left on his deal. There's no question I would trade Kyrie Irving.
Are you also going to have to rid yourself of not Tatum, not Brown? I think those guys are in fine shape, contract-wise, everything. And believe me, you started talking about the Golden State scenarios. You say, how in the world could Golden State get LeBron James? Well, LeBron James can go play for anybody for virtually any amount of money he wants, including the veteran minimum, if such a thing exists in the NBA, to play with Golden State but and guarantee himself
he doesn't take
a bunch
short
more
money.
Rings.
He doesn't do that.
Okay,
so get Golden State out of the conversation. You're going to have to pay him a lot of money, so you're going to have to part with other players. Right now, I feel, with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward back on the court, game one of the 18-19 season, they're the best team in the East, and they go to the NBA Finals. You know, you talk
about... But if you get LeBron James, you win a final. I mean, if you get LeBron James, even if it's for 2 years, people go, well, what about the long term? There's no long term. If you can win a championship, you do everything you can to win one. It's more difficult. I mean, you can go over 10 years, you know, we could win. Yeah, you could do a lot of things. But if you have LeBron James, you win a championship.
But you just, you know, LeBron was just talking about the Patriots. And we look at the Patriots as the gold standard. You know, the most successful franchise in professional sports going on. That's my Ring doorbell. There's motion at my front door.
Ooh.
Oh, hey. Look at you, newfangled appliance there.
Well, a lot of people are after the Hardy fortune.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
The compound.
Sure.
Yeah, you better get that security going.
My mother got me that for Christmas. I'm like, what am I going to do with this thing? I'm obsessed with it.
Of course.
Who's at the door?
Can you see a video of who's at the door?
We can look at it right. Well, we can look at it during the break, and we can see what happened at my front door. My guess is that the little woman went out on the front stoop to pick up the paper.
Hey. You get the paper every day, do you?
Yeah, I did not pick it up with me on my way out this
paper?
Morning, but it was there. The Globe.
There it is. That was the right answer. No, no. There is a wrong answer to that.
Okay.
We discussed this at length yesterday. There's a wrong answer to that. Goes, and then Fred took a lot of heat.
Because Newton Tab, Boston Globe, Natick Courier,
Herald. Natick Bulletin. It's the Bulletin. I get that delivered to my house
Patriot
as well.
Patriot Ledger.
Yep.
Yeah. That's everything.
But we talked about, and LeBron talked about the Patriots too. Now, they have the luxury of having the best quarterback to ever play the game, leading the team already, so that kind of helps. But they don't do this stuff for the next year. Very rarely do they go all in, and when they do,
last season.
Yeah. And how did that work out for them? Guys get injured right away, and your plans blow up. The idea that you're building something for longer term, and it confounds me, the unbelievably short memories of people who watched Kyrie Irving play for this team for the first three quarters of the season. How amazing he was! How good he was on the court. Do you have any doubt? If forget about Gordon Hayward, if just Kyrie Irving stayed healthy and were able to finish this season, the Celtics could beat the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I have doubt.
I have zero doubt.
Certainly, that would have been what happened.
And of course, they would have beat the Cavaliers. They took them to Game 7 without Kyrie Irving.
And because of what Hardy, and I agree completely with Hardy just said, because there are no guarantees, don't you want four or five chances at it instead of just one or two?
Yes.
No, I want to build the best team possible. And by the way, basketball is a much different game than football. Your roster is much smaller. The people, your roster.
And injuries. Well, tell that to dopey LeBron James who drew the Patriots analogy when he was talking in the post game last night.
I think it wasn't about the 50-man roster. I think it was about, you know, that you always have to be prepared to go up against them, and they're always well prepared, and you can't take a night off.
You see, you spent all this time with all those draft picks building, and you made your big move to bring in Kyrie Irving, and now you finally have the roster set that you want.
You know,
And if you bring a guy in like LeBron, and personally, I don't think LeBron would ever come here because that conversation would be like, okay, Danny, can I bring in my own players? Can I go get the guy? And Danny will say, well, no. Can I have any say in any personnel decisions? And Danny will say, no. And that'll be the end of the conversation. So I don't think he's coming here. But let's play fantasy basketball. Okay, so he comes here. What development do you stunt? What growth do you stunt of the players that you have spent so much time developing? My wife is a Philadelphia 76ers fan. She wants no part of LeBron on that team because Philadelphia spent the last 5 years getting to this point.
Yeah, and Philadelphia has they've done the process, and they're not overly good.
But the Celtics are, and the Celtics are pretty much at the end of the process. You're talking about, oh, why do you want to keep building? You're done building. If Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving are healthy enough to take the court, as everybody believes they will be, to start the season, the build is over. Horford, Kyrie, Hayward, Brown, Tatum. Put those five out there. Oh, by the way, can you get Marcus Smart back to be your sixth man? I love that team.
Jaylen Brown is overrated, too.
I disagree with that. I don't think he's overrated.
I do.
I think he played some bad basketball for a while in the playoffs, but I don't think he's overrated.
I think he's absolutely overrated. And I would get rid of him in a heartbeat. LeBron James and Jaylen Brown's a PC. What's his top end? What's Jaylen Brown's top end?
Jaylen Brown, I think someday, I think Tatum's top end is higher. I'm going to go and say that immediately. I think Jaylen Brown, if he gets out of his own head, I think he could certainly be an all-star at least once.
Okay, and so that's going to prohibit you from going getting LeBron James?
I don't know if that's the breaking point or not.
I mean, you throw him in with Kyrie Irving, and you say, how do you do?
I disagree. Let's win. I don't want to do that.
All right. Because you want a guy who might one day be an all-star?
No, because if you bring LeBron James in, I think you close your window to a year or two before LeBron decides to leave again and go somewhere else.
Yeah, but you win a championship that year.
There are
no
guarantees of that.
There's no guarantees, John.
Exactly.
But you put yourself in a much better
position. Your window open for 5 years instead of two. Or one. If LeBron decides he comes here and doesn't like it, he leaves after one season.
Okay, well, the Red Sox seem to be built for a bit of a stretch there. And good luck to them.
It's a much different sport, baseball, than basketball. 25-man roster, blah, blah, blah. I'm Fred. I dismiss everything by just poo-pooing it.
I was going to use you said it much better than I could.
So
the roster is much different, Fred.
I get two of the best pitchers in baseball. I have a young core. and I bring in J.D. Martinez, who's going off, and if they don't win the World Series this year, that's what you're looking at.
I think it's a much different situation. Because, yeah, the Red Sox are built to win right now. And if they don't win in two or three years, when the bills come due for Chris Sale and Mookie Betts, you could look a lot like the Detroit Tigers do now if you don't play your cards right.
Yeah. We got robbed. We got 5 minutes into that season, and the movie we were supposed to watch all season long was Hayward, Kyrie, and this group of Celtics players that finally were ready to come out and do something. And instead, the thing flipped off the reel and burned through the projector, and instead we had to watch House Party 2 all season long. And it ended up being a pretty damn good movie.
Sneaky good movie.
Yep.
House Party 2?
The Pajama Jammy Jam? Come on!
That's not good. It has the guy from Young Black Teenagers. Bean Pie Black?
I didn't mind that. I didn't mind the movie at all.
I didn't see it. It was the first thing that came to my head, and I thought it would appeal to Wallach's New Jack sensibilities, and it worked. Look, he's still on my side.
Yeah, he's all, yeah.
John, congratulations, it worked. Yeah, I didn't mind the movie.
Don't you want to see Hayward?
No.
Irving?
I don't care about Hayward.
You don't care about Gordon Hayward?
No.
I do.
I'd rather have 1 year of LeBron than Gordon Hayward.
I want nothing to do with LeBron. He's going to come in here, and he is going to be insufferable from the very beginning. He's going
to
start talking about...
He wants to work off the ball.
You're telling me... I don't care what he says.
Oh, really?
No, I don't.
Well, I listen to him.
Okay. He's a ball-dominant player.
Well, get ready to listen to him talk about how he's bringing his talents to Boston, and he's going to take his team, and he's going to do stuff with his players,
right.
And he is going to find ways to do everything me, he's earned the right to do that.
Guess what? He's still going to be insufferable. Doesn't matter where it is.
He's the best player in the world. Let him go be that somewhere else.
Okay, good. And let him take a team full of misfits into the NBA Finals. Which he just did.
If he stays in the East, he won't.
Okay. He won't go to the finals.
Unless it's with Philadelphia, and then there's a chance.
Yeah. And then I'd love to see what kind of player Ben Simmons turns into. A ball-dominant guard who can't shoot, now suddenly having to play off the ball. We'll see how good he gets.
He wouldn't play off the ball. He'd be their point guard. I guarantee you that. All right. We'll be right back. Coming up at 7 o'clock, there is a new... You remember streaking in the 70s?
I do. I remember there was a song called The Streak.
Yep. There's a new sort of phenomenon going on.
Planking. I've heard about it.
Yes, it is. It's the pet rock. There's a new kind of thing going on, and it involves going to the bathroom, and it is taking fire. So we will discuss that coming up at 7. Wouldn't you want to win a championship regardless of who the key player is?
See, this is what gets
absolutely. But even with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving on the court, I feel that we can do that with the supporting cast we have. We don't need to bring in LeBron.
Well, I mean, you're just more likely to win with LeBron.
And this is where I'm actually heartened when I hear Celtics fans talking like this, because there are a lot of them too, who are just these greedy little babies who just want more championships. You know, Boston sports fans, like, you haven't had enough between the Red Sox, Patriots.
So what should people
Celtics
want? Like, close?
Bruins, you know,
give
multiple.
Give me a nice second-round win.
Every team with multiple trips to the championship, and each one of them with at least one title. But, no, I want more. I want to win right now. Right now. I want to win right now. Right now.
Yes, that's the idea.
It's not always the idea to win right now. I firmly believe this, that this team is built so that they can make a deep run with this team for 4, 5, 6 years. You're talking about a 26-year-old Kyrie Irving.
What if he leaves?
Versus a 32 or 33-year-old
just
LeBron
turned
30. James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to go Al Horford's direction. Horford just turned 32.
What if Kyrie Irving leaves?
If Kyrie Irving leaves... It will be because they are not good next year, and I think they're going to be very good next year.
No, Kyrie Irving apparently wants to play in San Antonio. Kyrie Irving is a strange man. He could go anywhere at any time.
LeBron's 33, by the way. Going to be 34 in December.
And we pretty much all accept that it would necessitate getting Kyrie Irving out. I think he's going to stay. And he's 26. LeBron is 33. LeBron can play at a high level for 2 or 3 more years.
Yeah.
But... with Kyrie, you're looking at 7 or 8.
But I'm fascinated by your thing. I want to win a championship right now. Is that that's a bad thing?
Because what do you think LeBron's going to do after
win a championship.
But then he's just going to go to the next place, and you're going to have to dismantle what you've spent all this time and draft picks and everything putting together. And now it's ready.
Do you think Ainge, by getting Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, failed? They only won one championship.
But they had 5 years worth of it.
They only won one championship.
I understand that, but the window was open for 5 years. They were in the finals another year,
okay,
and they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. They went to a seventh game against LeBron, third of the year.
Fair enough, but they won one championship. I mean, is that I don't see people looking back at that era and saying, "Oh boy, what a failure." They only won one championship.
But they didn't have to blow up this awesome thing that they were building
difference
to get it.
There. Did you see the team before Garnett and Allen showed up?
Yeah.
They were awful.
I saw them. And this team is whatever. They're not going to beat they're not going to beat Golden State. They're not set up for that.
I think if they keep the core of this team together, they might in the next couple of years.
By the way, if LeBron James goes to Philadelphia wins the East. Wherever LeBron James goes, if he goes to anywhere except if he stays in Cleveland, Cleveland probably goes to the finals. I mean, he's the difference between winning and losing.
I think
if he stays in Cleveland, they don't go to the finals. If the Celtics are healthy next year, the Celtics beat Cleveland next year.
Yep. All right. Well, it's good to know.
Now you know.